Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Let us listen this morning to this Christmas worship song for a moment. Amen. is wonderful. Hallelujah. We honor our Savior. And we look at 18 spiritual elements to maturity. And we started with faith. And under faith, we have Jesus, the head over every power and authority. Under faith, we have the name of God, the Father, who is the potter. You trust his hand on your life. And then under time, the element of time, the spiritual principle of time, Holy Spirit seals us. And then Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, who time is in his hands. And we can trust their time and timing. And we don't have to be anxious for anything regarding our spiritual growth. For it is first in the hands of the potter, and then the Holy Spirit has sealed us with the whatever time it takes for us to be presented unto the Father. And then acceptance, God the Father, a refuge for his people. And acceptance, Jesus, the ransom for all. It is in Christ, it's through him, that we have all that we need, that we have been redeemed from the prison of darkness and death. One of the candles that were lit in the Advent is the candle of promise, and then it's the candle of light. The world was in darkness, and Jesus came with the marvelous light. And to express that coming, God put a light in the sky that lit up the entire world, saw that light, and were drawn to him from that light. And now that light is in us, so that where we walk, there will be no darkness. And then purpose, Jesus, the light of the world. And purpose, the name of Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation so that we might know the more of who God is, that our knowledge of him will increase and we will possess those faith facts that we will stand on, and they will transform our thinking and our behavior, and it will purify our heart. And then the preparation, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of faith, preparation, God the Father, the one who sustains us. It is he that prepares us. It is he whose hand is pruning, and the husbandman who is watering and cutting and perfecting the fruit that comes from us. In the spirit of time, that preparation is necessary. Even our Savior went through that spirit of preparation, that time of, it was 30 years before Christ started his ministry. He knew his purpose. He had faith in the Father. He knew that the timing was that fullness when God would tell him, and he knew the purpose on his life, and he prepared for it for 30 years on earth so that everything he went through, we would go through, and he would know how to share with us the victory that he won as he went through. And then in him, the name of God, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of sonship, we are complete in him because we have been adopted in the Jewish world. That adoption was even more acknowledged by the law than actual sonship, being birthed, because it took a commitment, someone knowingly making a commitment on your behalf and dedicating themselves and their resources to you. Complete in him, God the Father, he is a sanctuary. We can go there now because we are in Christ under sonship. And so now we are in the sanctuary. He says, come unto me. And then he says, you can come boldly to the throne. So now we are in appropriation. Jesus, the resurrection and life. Appropriation, Jesus, the source of eternal life. those names of God that give us understanding of who we are in, and then our position, and then our possession, and our great privilege comes as we identify. Identification. God the Father, who sees me now, he sees me, he identifies me as his child, and Jesus the banner for his people. So as we've come to those names of God through the studying of the 18 principles of spiritual growth, we want to lay down a path for our journey that will take us higher and higher. The author shares with us as it relates to our initial, justification is our initial interaction with God. It's where we no longer feel the guilt of sin. And now we're at the identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that no longer will sin be our master. So now the strings are being cut. The ties that bind us are broken. Every chain, the song says, are being broken through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's knowing our position in him. We are resurrected with him, but first understanding that we are crucified with him, that we die on the cross. One of the concepts of the baptism is to illustrate that type of principle with the actual physical exercise, going down under the water as you're buried and go under the earth, and then coming back up, that exercise or that the church, one of the things that we are told to do when one comes into the family of Jesus Christ. And so as that going down and coming up represents our death and then our resurrection in Christ, we have to learn and glean the knowledge through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and the Lord reveals this to us as we grow and go closer to him through obedience and faithfulness, that this power we can appropriate as we enter these seasons of growth and development, and we see a need that we have through some of our trials and challenges and just our position, and we see needs that we cannot meet on our own, and then we relinquish control into that of total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Any insights, questions, comments, inspiration that you received as you started reading this presentation of identification? It was interesting that most of the writing in this particular chapter comes from the writings of other spiritual authors and their
Good morning.
How are everybody? Merry Christmas. Good morning.
Would that mean learning how to love spiritually?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Because the more we learn of who God is, the more knowledge we have of, and remember, he's revealing his plan to us. And precept upon precept, he's revealing his plan. And his plan starts with, for God so loved the world. So it starts with that love that we have no concept of that kind of love when we start this journey. Absolutely none. Because love is of God, and unless we have God, we don't have that kind of love. We can't possess it. It is beyond us humanly too. The only way we can is through
that which is given to us from heaven. And as we beat challenges and people.
It's looking like,
yes. We are then turned to God. You know, when we meet these things, we turn and we look at him. We look at Christ and we see and we search and we seek. Okay, God, what is it? And he will put in our heart the love that we have in order for our response to mirror Jesus Christ, in order for our life to be properly representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, then love has to be established. And not just a love, but a growing, living thing, because love is God. And so the more that we are aware of who he is and his heart for the world, the more his heart will become a part of our heart. And the more we will surrender, if you will, to his plan and give up ours, the more we will embrace his kingdom principles and reject those principles that we are taught and that we are exposed to in this darkness. Because remember, now the light has come, and so we have to see things differently. When you walk in the darkness, you don't see. You bump into things. Things have an advantage over you. They can overtake you. In the dark, they cause us to be anxious and to be fretful as we try to make our way from one place to another, whether it's emotionally or physically or spiritually. There's so much of the unknown because we can't see. And so the Lord, in the beginning, deals with that with faith and says, you know, you don't walk any longer by sight. Now you walk by faith. Faith has become the light, because faith will reveal facts that are true in his kingdom. And this kingdom, and we won't say it's a special place, it is the only place, because God created the world. Now the world is corrupt and has not embraced his plan, but there are those that have, and that's why there's going to be a holy takeover. That's what we're called to do. We're called to bring this truth to the eyes of the people who are in darkness. And if it doesn't shine through us, then they won't be able to see it. And it's shining through somebody, and that's what drew us. And that it, when it shined, it had to come from love, because it is a journey that is too difficult and impossible for the flesh to do, because the flesh will only go so far. And so as he teaches us to love in the way he loves, with a tender heart and a compassionate heart and a wise heart, non-judgmental, non-critical, the whole Sermon on the Mount and the heart conditions are such a powerful presentation of the kind of love that is in the kingdom of God. And Christ delivered that Sermon on the Mount so that the people would know, and as the authors recorded it, we would know where we're headed to. We're not there. We don't love everybody like Jesus loved them. But that's where we're headed. And that's why part of our prayer has to be, Lord, I'm willing for you to make me willing to love everybody, to love anybody, to love all bodies, so much so that I'll give my very best so that they can see who you are. And we're not often prepared to make that kind of sacrifice for those that we don't know, or even more so for those that we do know and don't judge to be worthy. Those that we hear about, there's been some horrific things that are happening in the world, and you see them on the news, and the victims that succumb to these violent acts, their lives are over. But the ones that perpetrate the act, their lives are still worth saving. You know, God still counts them as worth sending his son to die for. But do we, you know, how much of our heart actually judges, criticizes, or condemns individuals that do these horrific things, these mindless, senseless, foolish things, or these very cruelly perpetrate, planned atrocities against one another. And yet it is a thing. I saw a woman on the news having no mercy for the individual that had killed her son, saying that mercy won't bring her son back. But my thought was, and vengeance won't either, but rather it will destroy you as well. And so we have to be careful how we reject the kind of love that God is trying to put in our heart. Because in rejecting it, we are then condemning ourselves to be victims of a godless love. And so we always want our love to flow down from heaven, the love that we project, not with our own understanding or our own insight, but rather with the knowledge, the wisdom, and revelation given by God through his Son and through Holy Spirit, who is moment by moment there to download that kind of love in our heart. And how many times have we rejected and go, you know, I ain't trying to hear that. It's like, okay. I mean, honestly, we do. We repent, but we certainly, we ain't trying to hear that. We want to see it how, or we want it seen the way we see it. And it's not so much that we don't even want to, we want other people to agree that we're right to not love. You ever heard somebody tell you a situation regarding a circumstance that they've come to an opinion of and someone else may not have, and they want to convince you to be on their side and be loveless, to be merciless, to not show compassion, to not show a tenderness. People don't want to see that today. We need it, and we want to see it expressed to ourselves most times. But we don't want to see other people doing it for other people, because then we will judge, man, what's wrong with you? Why do you take that? You know, you ain't got to take that. You don't, you know, that becomes our attitude. And if that were God's attitude, or if that was Christ's attitude, because we didn't embrace everything that he put before us, the way he put before us, then we wouldn't have an intercessor in heaven, and we would be lost. So, but because he has made the commitment to always sit on the throne and whispering into the heart and the ear of the Father on our behalf, mercy, give him mercy, tender compassion, loving kindness, patience, give him joy. He is pleading with the Father on our behalf. And then as a result of that privileged position that we possess, then the God of all mercy and the God of all comfort then floods our souls and our lives. And as he does, as it heals our hurts and our wounds and our frustrations, and even heals our emotions so that we can have joy, it heals the dark clouds over our heads so that we can feel the heat of the warmth of the sun shining. And as it does that, then we
become
do likewise to other people. Yes, ma'am.
Then we become fully saved, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Saved with joy. You know, a lot of people are saved, but they have no joy. And the joy is what draws them. You know, maybe they're not going to hell, but they're not helping nobody else not go. You know, because they don't have any joy. They don't have no zeal. They have no fire. It was a movie of The Fifth Element, and Chris Tucker, he turns to Bruce Willis. He said, I don't have no fire. You know, he needed fire to strike, to light that thing so that they could be saved. And that's what the world needs. They need our fire to light before them so that they can see how to be saved as well, see our Savior, see the kind of love that he possesses and that he expresses to a world that crucified him. Anybody else? Do we identify? How do we identify with that risen Savior? How do we identify when we receive his justification and we receive his act of crucifixion so that we might be saved? But have we learned to embrace the power of his resurrection? That's a tough power that brings one from the grave, never to go there again, ever. So imparting a life that will never die. That's pretty awesome. And that we have that power to show people that kind of an experience by pointing them to Jesus, by living a life that is no longer mine, but is lived by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for me. The Lord raised him from the dead. In the Ephesians scripture that the author is encouraging us to read, those first three chapters of Ephesians, we see God's plan revealed. We see his purpose revealed. And we see the method by which he's going to bring his plan about. And so do we know that method? Do we? And that method starts with love. And one of the things that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but also by not loving our life more, okay, but rather being willing to give it up, because that's the kind of love, no greater love that man can have, that he will lay down his life for another. So love becomes pivotal in our identification with Jesus Christ. Resurrection. One of the things the author says is the blood can wash away my sins, but it cannot wash away my old man. I need the cross to crucify me, the sinner. We had listened in the other book of Abide in Me, where it's me on the cross now. It's that worm under that nail on the cross that's wiggling, trying to get off, and we can't let it get off. It says, I am dead and buried with Christ, and risen too. And now Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God. Now, the faith of the Son of God, that's you. We got to have some faith back. So what do we know about the Son of God? What facts do we know that we can build our faith on? It says, first of all, he loved me. He gave himself for me. It says, nor should we look upon the experience, these truths, as for a few. They are the birthright of every child of God, and no one can dispense with them without dishonoring the Lord. And so if we are only looking at the salvation part of the crucifixion and not, or the cross and the experience, and not looking at past the that Friday, but looking to that Sunday when he rose from the grave in all power, and we look at it as his victory, but we need to look at it as our victory. That was us. We are in him. So when he rose and heaven rejoices, we're part of that, and it's going to happen when he comes back to deliver us back to his home where he is, and that's probably the next chapter. But he is preparing a place for us so that he can present us to the heavenly where he came from to then save us. So at this Advent season, I often think how heaven was preparing to lose Jesus Christ, who had always been eternally been there before them. He was no longer going to be there. And they had to be abuzz with knowing that this was the will of the Father, but also knowing what it was like down here on earth, because often they had to come down to deliver a message to mankind from heaven. And in doing so, There were even times when the angels themselves were attacked, if you remember, in Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah. So they knew the kind of environment that their Savior was going to, how holy he was, and how just incredible and just unimaginably magnificent he was, and knowing that he was now going to expose himself to the dark filth of this world so that he could actually go and clean up the world in which he helped to create. But in doing so, he was going to have to get his hands, I think, if you will, dirty. He was going to have to get walked on and spit on and beat on and pushed and sought and persecuted and lied on and slandered and deceived and what do you call it when someone betrayed? All of these things. And when these things come to us, you know, and in a light afflicted way, we become all discombobulated and, oh, my God, and da-da-da-da-da. All these things happen to the King of Glory. But he surrendered and humbled himself so that we might be saved. And we have to surrender and humble ourselves so that we can help others know who he is, that we can display the kind of love that can only come from one so holy and high and righteous. And yet, it came from him as he walked earth among us, letting us know that we also can do likewise. And as we do, we will change. We will change the makeup of hell, because there are those that will no longer be condemned there because they've seen the light and they've followed that light, and that light has lifted them up just like it has lifted us up. And there's a power in that lifting, and that power is what we have to identify with so that we are no longer slaves to sin, and sin is no longer our master. But the knowledge of Christ has freed us and given us an indispensable atonement and justification. And now that we're like him, it is indispensable to our sanctification. We can only overcome through the power of his resurrection. And you got to know that power. How do you know that power? That's when you get those faith facts. We can only know them if we allow Holy Spirit to teach us and to reveal to us the revelation of these 18 spiritual principles that bring about a growth and a maturity, which is really just a more intimate relationship with God. So it's no longer just going around like a robot, but it's rather proceeding with a lover. And one that you are passionate about so that you can learn everything connected with him. And as we learn what is connected to him, with him and through him, and we abide in him, then that power we can appropriate in order to fulfill his will on our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're blessed today. I am so encouraged. I got a big surprise last night when South Carolina is in the house. The Parker school force, band, wife, and fur baby. Praise the Lord. So we are a little distracted, but very rejoicing in their presence. So if you would like to say good morning to my Blog Talk family.
Good morning, Blog Talk. It is awesome.
Good morning.
To be back in the
good
house.
Good morning.
And to be in the midst of fellowship with Chicagoland. And I just look forward to hearing more of this because I am absolutely the greatest fan of the Green Letters. It only is second to experiencing God. So I am enjoying the process, and I look forward to becoming absolute to be clearer.
Amen. Amen.
Or not just clearer, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Amen. And Elder Parker is the one who initially the names of God in our calendar that we're looking at as we go from spiritual principle to spiritual principle, who pulled out the name, the power in that name of God to obtain that level of the spiritual development, which is what we shared at the beginning of the program, all of the names of God, not all of them, but the names of God that were pulled out. And that's why we encourage you as you read, what name of God does it bring into your memory, into your mind? And I know we don't often do a lot of teaching about the names of God, but understanding, I think Elder had given me a book, a Bible, that's done with the names of God, a very powerful type of study guide, because it reminds us of he is more than just a sovereign God. He is so much more than, you know, the God who heals us and saves us and delivers us. I mean, and that, even though those are the most, those are powerful and necessary, but we have to, it's time to go beyond that. There's so much more of who he is that we learn through what we are exposed to and what he shares with us. And so that study of the names of God, I know for some people that may not have been exposed to that, it's like, what are you talking about? But it's just like when you call a plumber, you call him a plumber, you expect him to know how to plumb. And so when you call on a name of an individual that has a certain skill set, and you need that skill set, you're not going to call a plumber to do your electrical work. That would not be good.
Amen.
And even though both of them are good, but it don't work.
You want the expertise.
Exactly. The plumber may know a little something about electricity, but you want the one to know it all. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. Know him in who he is, in all of who he is. And he is so much. Jesus, he is so much. And we so limit him to, I would say, and these are wonderful, but they're the beginning. And that's not where we should stop. That's only where we should start.
And he calls us to have experiences that would require us to come to know him in the deeper name. And we come to understand him as rear guard. When we come to understand him as husbandman. When we come to understand him as a high tower, and knowing why we need a high power, because he wants us to know him. That's that relationship, understanding and walking in fellowship with him as who we are calling him. So if all we call him is as the, let's just, you know, we often say, let's get up off the milk and let's go to meat. And that's knowing him in the deeper. That's taking the name and relationship that we have walked in him in, taking that name, the one I know him as provider, I can go into knowing him as husbandman and father, and knowing what a true father does, recognizing that a father establishes us in the earth and establishes his future lineages. So he calls forth, so knowing what a father's responsibility is, and then understanding what a husband's experience is, and knowing the difference, and recognizing that he causes us to walk into our journey through paths that will lead us to him. And when we choose him, we will find him. So when we choose the deeper, when we choose to accept the invitation to walk into relationship, get out the boat and walk, get out the boat of provider and get out the boat of healer and walk out on water and know him as what he is calling us into.
Like the source of eternal life.
Yes.
Or and the sanctuary. That was one of the ones that brought me to a different level, a different understanding. It's complete in him, God the Father, a sanctuary. And it's like, okay, what is a sanctuary?
Yes.
You know, and then to understand, so if I'm complete in him, and how what power of him as a sanctuary gives me the maturity to understand how complete I am in him. And that brought me to that place of the illustration that Apostle used with the prophet when he put it, when she put him under the table. And that was his sanctuary. That was his place of safety.
Yeah.
And as long as he stayed under there with the side down, there was nothing that could affect him.
Yes.
But the minute he tried to peek out and get out of the sanctuary, because different things were going on, different noises, and, you know, you just want to know, well, what on earth is going on? Don't look. You walk by faith, don't even care what's going on. Know you're in your sanctuary, your safe place. And so that made the whole walk by faith look totally different. And so it's these kinds of things that knowing the power of him as sanctuary changes our understanding of a lot of our situations that we are experiencing or going through, and it causes us to go through in a way, as Elder mentioned, that's easy and light, you know. And so because he has been the husbandman to provide everything we need, that as a husbandman does, he's made the commitment of an invitation, of abiding, and he, as we looked in Abide in Me, he has taken all the responsibility necessary to fulfill that commitment. And so that releases the pressure, if you will, and the anxiety off of us, and that's where joy comes from.
To go to that dowry that he set up.
Exactly, and appropriate what it is you need out of that dowry he has set up for you through Jesus Christ, who, remember, is sitting at his right hand, whispering intercessions into him so that you can receive, he says, so you can come boldly to my throne and receive what you need when in a time of need. And that need is based on your purpose and your mission and your assignment. Anybody else? We enjoying this Christmas fellowship.
Good morning.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm wonderful, and I would like to thank the entire congregation that's there. I would like to thank you for the last 5 to 7 minutes, your rendition that you all just gave Elder Parker. I would like to say I have just received the best Christmas present other than the birth of Jesus Christ, what you all just said. That was such an eye-opener, such a spiritual eye-opener. I would like to thank you all for that.
Well,
and Merry
the
Christmas.
Lord. Absolutely. Apostle?
And as you all probably saying, who knew? But really, the words that you all just said within the last 7 minutes has been a Sermon on the Mount to me. Trust me.
Jesus, I'm listening to them 7 minutes.
That powerful.
Amen. Apostle is coming to the mic. Good luck.
I was just giving her name of God book, and her name is Sky Bible, and wanting to encourage us as we go forward with the list of the names of God, to just kind of challenge us this year that every week, and not to come up with one every week, but every week, position yourself to become familiar with a different name of God. So as we were looking, she was talking about Ish that Hosea talks about, or Chabah, which we know is my favorite one, one of mine anyway. Hayah and Habah, one meaning to, one is the masculine and one is the feminine, up to live. It is the breath of God being infused in you to bring you to a different level of existing. And so, you know, Overseer was sharing, you know, the vast list of the names of God and saying how, you know, we need to go beyond the 30 or 40 that we are familiar with. And so I want to encourage us. She was making reference to the Bible. It's called the Names of God Bible by Ann Spangler. To get it and to familiarize yourself, this is not one a week, one a month, but to go on a love journey with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were talking about their favorite book being Experiencing God, which has a complete list in the back of it, broken down into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's their favorite book. But to go on a love journey to begin to experience who he is and allow his existence to transform our existence and to allow his existence to take us from where we're existing to where he dwells.
Yeah.
And there's something about where he dwells that can change our mere existence. And so I just want to encourage us to do that. Enjoy being a part of this Blog Talk family, and that's it. Enjoy the names of God.
Okay.
And take the time to read through them. And there's a power in hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Read them out loud. Read through them. Read them out loud, and you will find. And even as you are attempting to find which one he is drawing you into, and you will find, he'll lead you there. Because he said, if you seek me, you will find me.
Yeah.
I encourage you, speak them out loud, enjoy them. Enjoy the fellowship that you will find. You know, sometimes we are alone, and we don't have to be alone. Because there is power in sitting in the Spirit with his word. One of the things that I heard on the radio one day this week was, so ultimately, we want to hear God. He is speaking, and he has been speaking, and he does that through his word. And FYI, that is also one of the things that is noted as in experiencing God.
Amen.
That he speaks through his word as well as through his people. And so ultimately, we want it through his people when he wants to speak to us directly.
That's right. Faith facts come from the word.
Yes.
Because you can always go back and see it. There it is right there. Read it again.
And we have always learned to decree and declare his word upon ourselves, our lives, our families, and our ministry.
Amen.
If you cannot pronounce them, there's some things on the computer that will pronounce them. Get the name of God, CD.
Absolutely.
Listen to it, quote it as this thing there, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the name that you need to not become, you need to best understand so that you become the manifestation of the power of that name. So for every name, there's a power, there's a manifestation, and there's an anointing that's available to us. Become that. And there is power in the body of Christ coming together. Because individually, we may be one or two, we may manifest one or two of the names of God in a group. But when two or three gather,
right,
and each come with their own experiences
and knowing mm-hmm. of God. There he is in the midst in abundance. Mm-hmm. And our light grows. And that's how we are a light on a hill that draws all men. That's how we become the ship that sets sail and brings forth nations out of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And one of the things, you know, you don't have to go far for this research, because that's part of what was sent to you from the Green Letters, is this day-by-day presentation of some of the names of God that is attached to it is an outline that or a questionnaire, really, that Elder Dr. Created to help us, to help navigate us through this. So under each one of these 18 principles, there are names of God attached to them. And if you just read out, like, for appropriation, is Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. Jesus, the source of eternal life. So we know him as Jesus. We know him in the resurrection and life. After resurrection, what does that look like? So these are all things that we actually have some very primary sources to start from. Because if you look at the list, it's very overwhelming. Maybe, I don't know, 300-400 names, but we can start with just these 30 that are associated with our reading, and it kind of helps give us an indication of one of the things. There are no scriptures involved, but if you need scriptures, you know, where do I find where the Bible says Jesus is the banner for his people? Okay? So those are things that then become researchable, and that's when you're seeking him. Trust me, you will find him. Anybody else? Wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And yes, good morning, and good morning, Apostolic family. But I want to say and just testify to that. I was in my not myself, and just felt like I wasn't close to him. And as I spoke to my accountability partner, the other Arlette, she had said, you know, just start, you know, as she was saying, speaking the word of God out loud. And as I started speaking it out loud and then just sitting before him, it was like immediately, you know, it was like he had never left. He had always been there, but it was like I had left him. And it has truly been a blessing, speaking the names of God, hearing the word, just reading the word out loud, being sitting still and listening. And this identification was just such a blessing as I read Ephesians 6, the first chapter, but also 5 and through 7. And that was a blessing to me. So just thank God for the green letter.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that, yeah, this has been a good lesson. I was kind of on and off, and hopefully I wasn't my technical issues weren't bleeding over into the call, I pray. But it was just great to hear other voices. So that was just really encouraging. So I'm just chiming in to say that was cool. You know, we're here every Friday, right?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it certainly was a blessing for me. You, as my 5U Fellowship of Learners, are such a joy to me. So it's a blessing for me to be able to share you with my family as well. So my son-in-laws are here. They're just not vocal, but they're definitely here. One is vocal. I don't know. He's with the dog, though. But it is such a blessing. And it, for me, it's like intimately sharing my family with my family. So you guys are my Blog Talk family, and every week we meet. Every week we share. Every week we grow. Every week we cry together and we learn together and we shout together and we worship together. And so to be able to share that, you know, also with my natural family, that's a very big blessing for me. So that's a Merry Christmas present for me from the Lord,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't supposed mm-hmm. to be here tonight, and they surprised me last night. We're sitting around, and somebody knocking at the door at 8 o'clock. It's like, who's that at the door? And we just sat there and looked at each other like, who's at the door? Nobody got up to open it. Then it occurred to us, we're trying to really figure out who's at the door. Who can it be? Maybe it's the neighbor. I don't know. It's like, go open the door. You know how when Peter, Peter's at the door, and they had left him at the door. We had left him. I said, at the door. Trying to figure out who's at the door. Lord have mercy. So that was a great blessing for me, and I do. I love you guys. I love them. And to be able to share that love is just phenomenal for me. It is just phenomenal. So thank you all, and do have a blessed, blessed Christmas, Advent, worship time with the Lord. He is so worthy. He is so worthy.
Yes.
And we remember him coming as heaven's sacrifice. Oh, my God, heaven's sacrifice. And that's a sacrifice of love. That's what a sacrifice of love looks like. You know, it's not me, you know, going to deal with Pookie for an hour because this is the family. You know, that's like, oh, we're going down into hell because we love these people and we don't want them to stay there. And Jesus came down in his holiness. He came down. So we want to remember that and honor him for that. Thank him for that. So do something for someone else who will bring them into that knowledge and into that revelation during this holy season. So thank you, guys, and we'll be off to consecration, I think, isn't it? Yes, consecration. Uh-oh. So Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas.
And they'll be at church on Sunday along with the Hook and his family. So come on by.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.